A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Baba Metzia Chaf Vav. Baba Metzia 26a, pagination is 51. We'll start on the facing page, the last lines, counting up from the bottom four lines. Matza Bekosel Chadash, if a person finds something in a new wall, was recently built, we can therefore attribute that whatever is being found there was put there either by the owner or by the owner's father, let's say, somebody who he inherited this building from. So, mechetzio velachutz shelo. If it's the outer half of the wall, then the finder can keep it. We'll have to explain why. Mechetzio velifnim shabala bayis. Halfway inwards, it belongs to the homeowner. Now, we're dealing with a case of a stone wall that had gaps. They apparently built with very thick walls, and there were gaps, almost like mini caverns, holding places, shelves inside these walls, where a person could hide something by kind of pushing it around the bend behind where the stones and the mortar sealed things up. Through a hole, you push something in. So the working assumption was that if something was on the outer half of the wall, that's the place where passers-by might have put something, and they placed it there, and this finder found it. If it's on the inner part of the wall, then the working assumption is that either this homeowner put it there, or his father from whom he inherited the house is the one who put it there. Now, in general, if it's recent and it's hidden in this way, the finder is not supposed to take it and is not allowed to take it. However, if the indication is that it's been there for a tremendously long time, Sheta'a lechaluda, it already has rust or mold in such a way that the impression, as described in Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach, Sif Aleph, is she'orach lo sham hayomim. It's been there for a tremendously long time. Then this law would kick in that the item certainly is one that the owner has given up on. If it's the homeowner, so he's giving up, it's still in his house. He expects eventually to find it. If it's on the outer part, though, a passerby left it there. So then, if it's been there for so very long, then at a certain point, we assume that the person was miyayish. He's clearly not coming back for it. He's given up hope, and the finder can keep it. You'll notice that although the Mishnah stated it in a very simple, straightforward way, there are a lot of conditions that we have to keep track of. And those apparently were assumed to be self-understood because there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And even before the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda is applicable, there's a basic concept which is mentioned on the Mishnah on this same page, that if you find something that might have been munach, that might have been left there intentionally, hareza lo yiga bohen, you're not supposed to take it. But after those rules are no longer applicable, it's no longer an issue of safek hinuach, because it's been there for so very long on the public side of the wall, and some put in another consideration, that there are no simonim to identify it. Once you have this full picture, so then it's a discussion whether the inner person would have claim to it, or do we attribute it to the people from the public on the outer side of the wall. The Mishnah concludes with the words, "Im hayo maskiro la'acherim," if this room was rented to others, afilu b'soch habayis, then it's possible, even within the house, harei elu shalo, that the latest renter who finds this item would be allowed to keep it, which is a fascinating concept, because there is an owner to the house. Why doesn't he acquire it as chatzer, because it's in his yard, so to speak? And the answer to that is that in general, since he's renting it out, since it's a public place, people are coming and going, and it was pushed in a way that it's unlikely that he would have found it. So then we have the concept of something that's not mishtamer, not guarded, and the person does not automatically acquire it because it's in his chatzer. Interesting application of this discussion would be a vending machine. If a person comes to a vending machine and finds some loose change remained, so one question is, does it go to the person who most recently purchased an item from the vending machine, which, number one, he's already walked off. There's no simon, there's no way for him to prove it, and we don't even know if the last person got change. Maybe the last person put in exact change, and it's from a previous person, or maybe somebody who was many times before is the person who really didn't reach down and get that last quarter, and everybody since has been scooping up just what they were entitled to without realizing to scoop again. But fundamentally, why doesn't that coin get acquired by the owner of the vending machine? Because it's his location. And the answer is because it's not guarded in any way, and he's not around. And considering the fact that he's not entitled to that money because it was change dispensed for somebody who presumably gave up, so in many cases, that money is considered ownerless. It would be interesting to explore if the vending machine has a sign on it, "If money was lost, please call," and the person is serious about refunding money that was lost. Would it be possible to argue that whoever didn't get that coin because they didn't scoop in deep enough, or the machine didn't generate it in a timely fashion, that person claimed the money from the owner of the vending machine, and this money indeed should be refunded to the owner of the vending machine? The Gemara on today's daf, starting from the first line, explores the idea of two sides of the wall and points out another consideration. Because al chadash, if it's a new wall, recently built, so that we will attribute whatever's found on the inside of the wall to its current owner or his family, it's not some ancient wall from some ancient time. So the mechetzav alachut shalo, the outer half, given all the considerations we gave, could actually belong to the finder. Mechetzav alafnim, but if it's on the inside part, shel balabayis, it belongs to the homeowner, he doesn't give up because it's his location. Amar Ravashi, Ravashi said, sakina, if it was a knife, basar kato, we will attribute ownership to the side of the handle, because that's the way such an implement is placed in its storage, in the wall in this case. Vikisa, and if it's a purse, basa shintzei, we would follow the handle. The result of such a ruling is that actually, even though it's all the way very close to the outside of the wall, we're actually going to follow the handle, and it belongs to the inside person. So then what was the case of the Mishnah that said that we should follow its location? Velechzi, why don't we just pay attention, ikata legav o kata levar, whether the handle is on the inside of the wall or the handle is on the outside of the wall. Likewise, ishinse legav, ishinse levar, if the handle of the purse is on the inside of the wall or the handle of the purse is on the outside of the wall. Imagine the case of a purse. The place where the purse is where the money and the value is, and that's what someone would think according to the Mishnah. We should evaluate the item, when in reality those little purse strings that stick out are the ultimate arbiter of whose purse it's going to be called. And the Gemara answers, you're right. The Mishnah, Be'udra Venasko, is talking about items that do not have handles. It's talking about Muchin, clumps of wool, or a bar of metal, which doesn't have a front and a back, so to speak. But you're right. We have to pay attention that if it would be an item with a handle, then we would indeed follow the handle.